Welcome to everyone have come to worship with us today. We also welcome those who are worshiping from home through live stream. We are thankful for the safety and peace of last week. And we have commemorated Father's Day last week. We are thankful for those who are preparing for the fellowship meal after the worship. It was a wonderful time. May God bless each one of us. And this morning, we will study in with the title, To Be Chosen by God, based on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. There's a story of a hitchhiker in Los Angeles in the night. He was trying to get a ride one night in Los Angeles. Others ignored him, but a car. Many cars had passed by, but nobody stopped for him. And finally, there's this one who stopped to pick him up. After he opened the door and he sat there, he realized that a very familiar driver, that was Kurt Douglas. That is a famous movie star. He was a producer, a director, and writer. And also plays in many famous movies in 1950s, 60s, and 70s. And this is the one that he was a fan. When he opened the door and saw the driver as Kurt Douglas, he was so surprised. He could not say anything. Do you know who you are? And he could not express his surprise. He could not believe that that person is something famous. And he is a fan also. And so when he did that, even at this event and this morning, I want to question you. Do you know who you are? Dear congregation, the word of God in 1 Peter determined us that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Can you imagine all of this? I think that if somebody of us, become a leader, maybe we understand that. And that is a manager of so many people. Or somebody say, today I am been nominated to a supervisor role. Maybe we can imagine. We can do some management as a supervisor. Or somebody, I am been nominated as an executive vice president or a president. And we know that that person can manage the whole company. But when we say, you have been a royal priesthood, how can we imagine that? No, we couldn't. You have become a holy nation. We couldn't imagine what that is. It's very difficult how to imagine the wonderful that Peter has wrote to us, for us here. But in reality, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And this morning, we think about who are we? And if we understand who we are, we will have a different lifestyle for the Lord. Let's all pray for guidance from the Lord. Dear our loving Father, we come to you in fearful because we know that ourselves is not worthy before you. But because of your great love, you have accepted us to call us the holy nation, the royal priesthood, and those are the children of God. We can experience not because of us, but by your grace on us. Maybe something we have heard many times, but maybe we could not concern enough where we are in life. And the word of the Lord, teach me and my brother and sister to see where we are in your great plan, so that we live according to your will. We are thankful for your love that you have given us. May the Holy Spirit give us light to understand your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we want to think about that we have been chosen is that God give us a position for a role. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. In our lives, in this world, when we choose something to make something or choose somebody to carry out a responsibility, how do we choose? We choose the best, right? Always. So that we have a great army, they find those who have good strength to do a good job. They have to find the right skills to have a leadership. They have to find people with knowledge so that they can do business transactions. They can find know how to do the business. We do not find those who are lack of knowledge, lack of skill. But when we are chosen to become a holy nation, to become the royal priesthood of God, we are chosen to become the holy nation. How is God chosen us? It's very weird. He doesn't look in our lives to say, this person is wiser than other. This one is more skilled than other. The other one is saying better. God doesn't look at that. God doesn't look at our possession or inheritance to see that, oh, this person can be used by God in the future, in the long time. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul wrote to Corinthians, and also, brother, think of what you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. How many were wise among us? Or maybe one. He's not wise. Or Mr. Tui, nobody say we are wise. How many has power or influential? Mr. Duk, do you have power? No, he shook his head. No, not power, but just in power. How many are of royal descent or noble birth? We can dress well, but we do not belong to the royal family. Dear congregation, I think God is very strange. He chose to be of his own nation, to be royal priesthood. He chose us to become the children of the Lord. That God does not choose the wise, to choose the one with power. Who does God choose? How does God select us? How? Why? And Paul said, he chose the unwise to make the wise be ashamed. Oh, that is so strange. That means God chose the lowly and give him the wisdom so that the wisdom of this world compared to the wisdom that God has given is become incomparable. God chose the weak in this world to make shame of those who are strong, because God gave the weak his strength. God chose our ordinary people to make who thought that they are somebody to have lifted up the loneliness to shame those who are in position. We have been called to become a holy nation. We become his children, to become his priesthood. God must make something different. If not, you and I could not handle the responsibility. We give thanks to God. He truly has changed the unworthiness to become worthy for him. God give us the accept our unwisdom to greatly. He accept our weakness to make us strong, and our ordinary become something special. God has chosen is very strange. From old until the new, among the world, God wants to choose a nation, the Israel nation. But very strange, He did not choose any other from the Muslim. No one has many different nations, but God does not choose any one of those. God chose one pair of couple. And God said, from there, I will make a great nation. I suppose that that couple are healthy. It's not mentioned. This guy is 75 and 65 years old. And God, I chose you to become a nation. That is impossible. But God has chosen Abraham and Sarah. And from that, when God said that, until when He gave him a son, 25 years have already passed. 25 years after that, Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah is 90 years old. It's impossible to bear a child. But God has given a son to Abraham, and that from there, a nation like Israel that we have today. Is that a wonderful thing? Is that something a miracle? Yes, but that's how God acted. He does not need any readiness. He chose according to His plan. When the people of Israel, the matriarchs, because of famine, they went to Egypt to find food, and from there the nations begin to be born from 72 in the family, but they thrive and have many sons of their own, and then became 2 million people in the land of Egypt. Dear congregation, 430 years they were not a free person. They were slaves in Egypt to serve the Egyptian. But God has promised they will be brought out of slavery into a promised land based on the promise to Abraham. And then God raised up who? Is a strong person? No. He raised up an old person, 80 years old. This old person who? He went run away from the official, but he brought this person to be leader of the nation of Israel for 40 years. And that was Moses. From 80 years to 120, Moses was the leader of the of Israel to lead them through the wilderness. And now, anybody who is more talented than Moses, we're thankful because what God has done is so wonderful. And during the New Testament, Jesus selected 12 apostles. In those 12, who has righteousness? Who has respected? No. Was there any rich person to win the one based on the possession to do this and that for the kingdom of God? No. The Lord chose us, the fishermen, very ordinary. He chose the tax collectors that they were despised by the people. Even the rebellion that could be killed if the Romans can find those. And even the thieves. But Jesus, God has chosen those people to become apostles of Jesus. To give the key of heaven to those apostles. That's how God works. So when we are the holy nation, the children of God, we are the priesthood royal. God is not based on what we have. God based on what God can give us so that He can put us in the position to serve Him. The pride of us is we are ambassador because we are not better. But don't worry. Don't be afraid. When God has chosen you, He will give us the ability to fulfill our responsibility. The important point is that we have to see the whole plan of God. God chose you and me not just happenstance. God has a plan from when God, this world has failed. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, the plan that God has chosen in the Old Testament, He told the people like this, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my commandment, then out of all nations you will be my treasure possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So we see that the plan of God, that from the scripture, is not from Peter, but it began in the Old Testament, from the Moses, time of Moses. And God promised that all who have been chosen by the Lord, they will become a royal priesthood, not only based on all the priesthood that we as present, though the whole world belongs to the Lord, but you will be belong to me, a holy nation. Oh, that is so privileged. It's so great, that promise, that there is nothing, not no one can be worthy of that possession. Thanks be to God. God has chosen the Israel people in the Old Testament. God has chosen we now in the New Testament. It's based on one standard, and that standard, if you keep my, obey me fully and keep my covenant, then all of them, you belong to me. And this is the standard unchanging of God. There's only one thing that will satisfy Him, is that you will have to obey me fully and keep my covenant. This is a standard based on faith. The chosen of God is not based on money, not based on knowledge of people. Chosen of God is not based on the power in the world. The chosen of God is based on is faith. And if that is faith, that the young and the old will have, the rich will have faith, the poor will also have faith. And the wise person and the unwise person would have faith. And this one is universal. Whoever obey me fully and keep God's covenant, then that person become a royal priesthood. That person will be the children of God. And that's the standard. Dear congregation, we are ambassador of the Lord. It's so wonderful. But based on faith, when we respond the calling of God, and now we have that position. To become the possession of God means what? That we want, God wants to own us. You and I can be ordinary people, not worthy among the world, but God wants us to become His possession in inheritance of God. You and I can become, when we unworthy, but He changed us into a priest for God. What is a priest? That is those that God has established to, and only those priests can come into the temple of the Lord to serve the Lord there. To serve the Lord is not simple like we think. We're not just to come here on Sunday, but the servant of the Lord that must be allowed to approach the Lord, and that person can serve the Lord. So that we have to understand, to become a priest is something, a special privilege, so that we can come close to God and become an intermediary to bring others to the Lord. This is a privilege that God has reserved for those who obey God fully and keep His covenant. We will become a holy nation. God doesn't determine the something of a saint. The holy means that it's been set apart for God for a purpose. for the Lord. God chose each one to obey fully and keep His covenant to become those who've been set apart for the God. Dear congregation, I think that if a governor has a first and a secretary, and that person would be very proud to serve the governor, a president to have a cabinet to serve him, to have a personal secretary, I think those would be very proud to serve the person. But now we have been chosen, the God of the universe chosen to become set apart for him. And what could we trade it from the world for that position? None. But here is the position that God wants us to have. To become into the temple, not is something simple. This is a special privilege that God wants us to. There's a story. It's a businessman named Lindsay Clegg in London. He's a real estate agent. And one day, he sold a storage to someone. And that storage was abandoned for a long time. And it's been vandalized and broken the doors and smashed the windows and strewn trash all around the interior. When he chose a buyer, and he felt ashamed because of this decrepit storage. And he said, it looked so terrible, but I promised to fix all the doors and the windows and clean up in the interior of this building. And the buyer said that, Mister, don't bother. Don't have to do of that. I want to buy this place with a very different purpose. Not to be a storage. I do not need this building here. I only want this piece of land. Dear congregation, when God chose us, it's not based on what we have, goodness that we have, because God does not use that. Only His heart. Only the heart to be obedient fully and keep His covenant. And whether we are weak, we become strong. We are unwise, we become wise. If we don't have the ability, God will give us that ability. The second point is that to live with a purpose. When God has called us, He will give us a purpose in life. And what for? Peter said, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. God called each one of us in this temple has a purpose, a clear purpose. In Jesus, when He served on this earth, what Jesus has done so much. And John said, if we wrote down everything, that there is no place to contain all that Jesus has done. And today, outside that ball, we see that on this world that we have, there are so many handiwork from the Lord. He healed the crippled. He healed the blind. And those who have cancer have been healed. And those who are under predicament can be saved, can be healed. Those addiction to drugs can be healed. There are many wonderful miracles. There are so much. But all the miracles is not enough to tell the wonderful word of the Lord. It's wonderful, but it's not enough to express the wonderful thing God has done. There is one thing that wonderful that God would need you and me to declare to others, and that is the most wonderful, that God become man to sacrifice on the cross. God become human. That is a thing, something strange. we have some carpenter to make the future, but the carpenter could not become a table or chair. The engineer can make a computer that can be very fast, but the engineer cannot perform as fast as the computer. And in this world, a person that creates something, but that person cannot become his creation. An architect can build a building to lift up 1,000 acres, but he could not carry 1,000 acres. So when God created the creation, created us, now God become human. And that is only God can do. Nobody else. Nobody can have that ability. Who can become the creation? God is a wonderful being. He became human like us. Not only that he became human, the infinite become finite. The powerful become weakness in human flesh. But God agreed to die because of our sin. That is, cannot understand. God can solve sin just very quickly to kill all of us. And another snap of the finger, a new world can be created. He's the creator. He has the power to do that. But he did not do that. He accepted, become a human, and sacrifice himself on the cross for us to save who believe in him. And that is something wonderful. A wonderful thing that all the creation in this world to express that wonderful work is done. No creation can express that wonderful that God wants his church to do. In Psalm 19 verse 1, all the heaven declare his handiwork. We look at the heavens in this universe, this world, we can understand how wonderful, how great, how God. When we look at the high mountain, look at the all the great storm, we can see the power of the Lord. But and the storm could not express the wonderful thing. God has become human like us. This is something that even the angel, those who serve the Lord, has many great abilities. They wish to be able to do that, but they couldn't. Why? Because God become human to die on the cross. Because of his death, whom the death is for. That person, when we receive that, to become a proclaimer of the Lord Jesus Christ. God need us for us to express his glory. That a God can become, a great God, can become like us and sacrifice himself so that we can be accepted by God to become a holy nation, to become the royal priesthood, to become his children. That nothing can we understand and see. We ask the Lord to help us in some of us. We could not express his wonderfulness. God does not give us to just a preacher or the governing board. Each one of us has the responsibility to express this wonderful fact about the Lord. In this world, as many more can experience what God has done to express the wonderful thing God has done, that the whole world can understand that wonderful being called God. We are only one person in billions of them. It's so small to express the wonderful thing God has done for us. But dear congregation, he will be very rejoiced to talk about what God has done for us. God will be so happy to become His, when He comes to reset the holy nation, to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness, from out of darkness into the wonderful light. There is no other way a person can become from darkness to escape that. There's a person who has dreamed that he'd been imprisoned by the devil. When the devil captured him in place where the devil is, there are so many rooms, and each one of them has many jars, and in jars there are so many seeds. Everywhere there are jars of seeds, and he asked the devil, "What are those jars for?" And the devil said, "Those are the seeds. I use those belong to me to plant the seeds in the heart of human. What kind of seed is that?" "Oh, many seeds. The fear of prison. When you put the seed in the heart, the person will be sure. Another seed is disobedience. Put it there. The children will not obey the parents. And here, the seed of hopelessness. I could put it in the heart. They will be want to commit suicide. All these seeds, so that the whole world belong to me, the devil Satan." And Satan told about that, all the seed that can be used to destroy this world. And this person saw that there are many, there's only one kind of seed, and so many of them. Every room has such a jar. And the person said, the seed, what is that for? And this is the seed of desperation. And this is the most effective kind of seed. Even the pastor, I only just to plant the seed, then they will all be disappointed. And the seed of desperation. And it became in their life. It's easy to become not fulfill the responsibility to Christian. And this is most effective. And so I have made it so many seeds there. And this person said, "And so, dear Satan, do you put it in the heart is not successful when you use it?" And the devil was kind of a sad thing and said, "Yes." "Oh, what? The seed is not successful? Why? Where? How?" And the Satan said, "This seed does not work if we put it in the heart of the children who acknowledge the grace of God." Dear congregation, we have a purpose in life, but that purpose of life, when we complete it or not, is because us to be graceful to the love God has become human to and put me in a purpose to tell about the wonderful work of the Lord. Only by our thankfulness can we complete our responsibility. If we are not thankful, we can just be busy with all the seed that has been planted in our life to destroy our life. Then our role with the Lord will be failing. The third point that we can share here, to receive of grace. The receiver of grace. When we chose, give us the responsibility, a position, He has a purpose. And when God chose us, God give us the grace of being. Before, you not have received mercy, but now, before you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Before you were not a nation, that means you were no value to God. But now you have become a holy nation. That means there is certain value that God imparted to that. Before, you have not been merciful. that your life was not meaningful, is not worthy of His love. But now you being have received it because your life has some meaning now from the Lord. What caused changes our life? The love of God. What changes you and me to receive the responsibility right now? That's the grace of God. God has expressed His grace and give each one of us, those who are unworthy, to receive that grace. In John chapter 15, verse 15, it's also God, Jesus is talking to, I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. The servant can work to live there, but the servant does not understand the work of the master. The servant just does his job. But now I call you friends, co-workers. Why? Because everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. God expressed the everlasting plan to us. Jesus has expressed the strength that He received by the Holy Spirit in us. He expressed the will of God when He saved us and put us in a position to privilege to be a co-worker. And He revealed everything, and even He expresses that there will be one day He will come back to bring us home to Him. So we will be with Him wherever the Lord is. We will be there. This is a privilege. Thanks be to God. All the plans that God has done, only because the grace of God that He accepted this ordinary person become His friends. Dear congregation, Paul has understood this kind of grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, he said, for we are friends in God's service. Friend or co-worker, that doesn't mean Paul are equal with the Lord, but it means that in the service that God has given Paul, Paul is working, God is working alongside with Paul, that all that the task that we have is to become, to represent God, the priest, the intermediary on us. He is working alongside with us because He would not let us work alone. Praise be to God, the way God is working in our life and each one of our lives. So that may the Lord help us see that These are unworthy people has been chosen to give a role, to give a purpose. And now, grace of the Lord, God is working alongside with us. Dear congregation, oh, so wonderful, so privileged. Though you participate, maybe not great, you can be a pastor, you can be in the governing board, to govern this church. You can be a leadership of some group or somebody participate in the worship team or the different kind of a responsibility or even the planting the one, all the work that we are participate to work along. The Lord is working alongside with you. We have to see that privilege that we are working alongside of the Lord, even the lowliest of the task. But God is working alongside with us. God give us that responsibility to work along with Him. So we do not have personal pride, nothing that we can look at us to be proud, but in the opposite way, the more that we see ourselves to have other better conditions, we can feel the greater the grace God has for us, how great it would be. So the story, there's a church, in the church there, in a first worship of the year, the pastor called all the people to bring to worship the view. whoever feels that with the grace of God, they come and kneel before the altar of the communion table to express yourself a thankfulness of the grace that God has given you. And in that worship, there are many came forward. There is one, he is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in England. He felt the grace of God. So he come and knelt before the altar of the communion table. There is a person, a Christian, a believer, also kneel next to that Chief Justice. And when the pastor looked at the Chief Justice and this believer next to him, he was surprised. He was taken because the next, that person before was a criminal. And 7 years ago, that Chief Justice has condemned him to prison. And now he accepted the Lord. He came to the church, and those two are now kneeling next to each other after the worship. And the Chief Justice said, Pastor, do you know who has kneeled next to me? The pastor said, yes, I saw that person. I was surprised that you knew that somebody kneeled next to you. And the Chief Justice said, the grace is very wonderful. The pastor said, truly, the grace of God is so wonderful and changed the life of this criminal. And the teacher said, who were you talking about? The pastor, I talk about this criminal. He was a criminal and you put him in prison. Now he accepted the Lord, changed his life to come and become God's children and worship him. And the teacher says, no, I did not talk about him. Talk about myself. The grace of God is so wonderful for me. The pastor, I don't understand what you're talking about. And the Chief Justice said, yeah, pastor, this criminal to believe maybe not anything changed. He, because of his sin, he paid for him in prison. When God worked in him, he felt the love of God. And now he accepted them. And that is so easy. But me, I am a very righteous person, respected by all. I was a believer. I was very religious since a kid. I studied at Oxford University, and then I became Chief Justice, and now I am nominated the Chief Justice of Supreme Court in England, the Royal Court, near Pastor. There is no other one out of grace that can change a person, myself, to receive. I am a sinner, the same as a criminal. Next to the grace of God has given me is greater than the grace for that criminal. And that grace can become that kill my pride, my arrogance. That in God's eyes, I am no better than this criminal. Who among us can understand the grace of God? May we, sometimes we are proud because we have a position in the society. There is something that can make us proud of ourselves. But this Chief Justice has given us a worldview when we are facing with the grace of God. The one that we will be proud of ourselves will be dethroned. Grace must be greater for us to recognize our shortcoming when we are proud of that grace. Be proud of ourselves. We could not understand our true self before the Lord. Grace of God is something that can change the change of wrong become right. that grace of the Lord is to help you and I to recognize the true self before the Lord, and that He has the power to change. God does not change the wrong, become right, but God gives us the truth of God, that we follow that truth. Grace of the Lord does not change a weak, a sick man, the unfortunate become fortunate, to become failure into success, or a life of a negative condition to be a fortunate situation. Grace of God is to give us the power to overcome all the trouble of this world, to live according to God's will. The grace of the Lord is something, a language that can express that God is with you and me in the name of Jesus Christ. And that in the grace, we become a holy nation, a royal priesthood for Him to be His children. Once we understand that grace, to understand our position that God has given us, then may God help to live a life accordingly. Maybe to become His children, we disregard that position that we have. Maybe Christians disregard that, disrespect the worship, or to go to church one Sunday, another one, no. When we are representative, we could not have a choice. When one day we want to worship, another day we don't. Not by grace, you and I, we would not be sitting here. May God help us to understand, to become, to declare the wonderful work that God has lift us out of darkness, the place of sinful, to become a place of light, of wonderful light of the Lord. May God bless each one of us. Please stand. We will read the key verse this morning. Let's all read. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Thanks be to God. Dear God, before you, we are very ashamed of ourselves. We thought that we have some value we can bring to you, to be pleasing to you, to be chosen by Lord. But truly, there is no value of us that we can bring to you. You accepted us by your grace. You accepted when we were yet sinners. And you have changed our lives so that our life can become a possession that you can use. You changed our life into our priesthood, royal priesthood that is, that can come close to the Lord, and to be proud to express God to others, to come closer to you. We give thanks because we become your children, those who are worthy of death, but you have changed our position, changed our destiny. You have done all that by a wonderful, you have become human to carry our sins on your shoulder. Dear Lord, may we fulfill our responsibility that the whole world, the spirit, could not express your wonderful work. The responsibility even the angels could not be able to do. But may you give us, would not be disappointed in us. May our life, may our, the way we live, the way we worship, and to the purpose of life, to express, we can prove that the wonderful things God has done for us, that God become man and die for us on the cross. May your grace continue to lead our life. May you help each one of us returning to forget what we have heard today, and that we were so busy with our daily life that we receive all the goodness in this world and forget the lesson that we have been chosen by the Lord, and that we have a purpose, a responsibility given to us. May we live our life worthy of your sacrifice. Where are we going? Whatever we do, may we express the glory of God according to God's will. We thank you for this lesson today. We thank you that you continue to love us and guide us. May you carry each one of us in your hand so that we can fulfill our responsibility given to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.